You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday evening, August the 31st. It's been a busy work month for us in TPC. You're getting a little extra episode this month, I guess, because of the fact that there's five Saturdays in August. So one more episode than you're typically accustomed to, I guess, in any given month. But we're happy to be able to bring it to you. We're here every Saturday, no matter when the what month they may fall in. Every Saturday we will be here. We will be live, as we have been for 9 years now. We have some staying power, to say the least. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, as we go out to the AM/FM affiliates across the country of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting around the world at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We have had, I was looking back at our guests over the course of the last, really this entire summer. It has been a superb summer here in the cesspool, a sizzling summer, both in terms of the temperature outside here in Memphis and on the airwaves themselves, and it's been our pleasure to bring it to you. We're going to give you another good show tonight. No guests tonight. We're going to take a breath after last week, and we're just going to be with you without any accompaniment. Keith and I and Eddie the Bombardier Miller a little later on tonight, and you know, we're really pumped up for tonight's show. We were listening to some white power music right before the show started tonight. Herman's Hermits and Peter Noonan. Anybody out there remember Herman's Hermits? Raise their hand. You know, if you're gonna get ready for 3 hours of hate radio, you have got to just immerse yourself in Herman's Hermits. And that's what I was doing. I literally was doing that, listening to Silhouettes by Peter Noonan, one of my favorites that they put out. Anyway, let's go to the mailbag before we get started tonight in earnest. This one comes in. Speaking of Herman's Hermits, they were of course a part of the British invasion in the 1960s, the mid 60s. And this, appropriately enough, comes from a listener in London. He writes, "Your interview with Mrs. Leathers was terrific and terrifying. Terrific that you confronted her with her hypocrisy, and terrifying to hear her self-delusion. You came across as forthright and compassionate. She came across as another lost and desperately sad young woman. I've known so many of her kind, intelligent, articulate, and deeply damaged. There were notes in her voice that made me want to run. She's an adult and responsible for her actions. But she's surrounded by parasite enablers. For one, the porn industry is almost entirely run by Jews." Of course, that's a fact, and we don't shrink from a fact here in the Political Cesspool. That comes from John in London, England. And thank you, John, for writing that. I got a lot of feedback as a result of my interview with Sydney Leathers last week. Some good, some bad, some indifferent, I guess. But that was the point I was trying to drive home. What was so interesting to me about that story was how it falls into the culture war. You see a woman like this now being rewarded with a six-figure salary for her depraved behavior. And these are the kind of people that our society, our morally bankrupt society, rewards, people like Sydney Leathers. And I do wish her the best, but we hope that she straightens out. And we talked about that at length last week, so no need in going into it again. That was an email that came in, of course, from our most recent show. Got an email also this week from an interview that I gave in 2007. So it just goes to show that people are finding their way to the political cesspool by all different ports of call. A gentleman here watched an interview that I gave to CNN in 2007. It was on YouTube. This video in which I discussed the black-on-white hate crime, the torture, murder, rape of Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom in Knoxville at the hand of five black thugs, is on YouTube now, and it's up to, I believe, nearly 200,000 views on YouTube. That's not counting, of course, 750,000 that watched it live on CNN. But the gentleman writes, the only thing the NAACP was concerned about in that interview was doing damage control. I'm amazed that after screaming bloody murder about the Duke rape hoax, they could say with a straight face that the Knoxville horror was not racially motivated. James, you're my hero for handling cases of anti-white racism with greater articulation and courage than I ever could. And so, Keith, the hits just keep on coming for us in the political cesspool. The audience makes it possible, and we're excited to have them. We're excited to be here for yet another installment and live episode.
Yep. As you said, we have more staying power than Viagra, my friend. It's we're the Viagra of paleo conservative radio. We are the people that keep it going week in and week out. We've got this long pedigree now. We're the longest one in the business. We're going to continue doing this come hell or high water. Don't anybody fear. We need your help. But on the other hand, you can depend on us doing this because we're volunteers, not just for America, but for the world. And to tell you the truth, if America and the world and the white race do not win this culture war that we're in, then everybody is a loser. Not just white people, black people, Asians, Hispanics, Jews. Everybody will lose because we're the only people that are going to be able to create the type of first world societies and sustain the type of first world societies that we identify with a first world lifestyle in today's world. So that's long and the short of it. We're cheerleaders for Western civilization. We're cheerleaders for civilization versus barbarity. And we're going to continue to fight the good fight, James. Thanks for all you do.
Well, and thanks to our audience. You know, when we look back at any of our greatest hits or solid performances, it's all been enabled by the audience who supports us with their financial contributions and their prayers. And, you know, we just so happened to kick off our third quarter fundraising drive for 2013 just yesterday, and it will run through September 30th. We're going to talk business in the second hour, folks, and it's very important that you listen to what I'm going to have to tell you in the second hour, because we are approaching and fast approaching what I believe may very well be our biggest opportunity in nearly a decade. We've been on the air since October of 2004, so it'll be 9 years this October, not too far shy of a full decade. And I think we stand poised and at the ready to embrace our biggest opportunity to date. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. For those of you who were tuned in, we're going to talk more about that in the second hour. But it is imperative that we receive your support during this fundraising drive, not only to keep this show on the air, but of course, a percentage of everything that we take in during these quarter fundraising drives goes back to the network and Sam Bushman. And without the network, of course, there would be no political cesspool as well. So there's cross-pollination. You're doing good, more good than you know, when you respond to these appeals. And we do it 4 times a year, 4 months out of the year. We hit you hard because we have to, not because we like doing it. And if we didn't need it, we wouldn't ask. It's going to be one of those months. We try to lay off on you the remainder, but this is going to be one of the months, folks, and we're going to talk again more about this in the second hour. I believe it's going to be one of our most important months in the history of this show, and I'm excited, again, to give you a little more detail as to why that is during the second hour. But first, we've got a lot of news for you this hour, so stay tuned. We're going to get right into it right after this. I'm James Hees Keith. We'll be right back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
That doesn't get your hate boiling, folks. I don't know what will. I can just feel the hate flowing in my veins right now. That's what I was listening to right before the broadcast tonight here in the studio. So thanks to our producer. Yeah, Heidi Byers is listening to that just seething right now. And thanks to our producer. I mentioned it in the first segment. And there it is, welcoming us back. I was looking at some of the guests we've had, Keith, in the last couple of weeks on this show. No other radio program in the world, with the exception of Sidney Leathers, Colin Flaherty. You know, we're going to talk more about the pandemic of black-on-white mob violence here at the top of this segment. But Colin Flaherty, nobody does it better in print journalism than Colin Flaherty. And he was our guest last week. We've established a great rapport with him. He's doing such good work. But also Mark Weber, Sam Bushman, Reverend Ted Pike, Sam Dixon, Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, Dr. Kevin McDonald, Paul Kersey. That's the last about 4 or 5 weeks of the show, Keith, and that's not including, of course, the commentary that me, you, Eddie, and the rest of the staff and crew provide. Folks, we do a service. We service our people here on the political cesspool. Anyway, getting back to the I mentioned Colin Flaherty, and we talked about this. He ran through a plethora of black-on-white hate crimes, racial attacks, attacks unlike the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman instance, which was clearly a case of self-defense. Colin Flaherty zipped through dozens of cases last week that were motivated by no other reason than racial hatred, black-on-white racial hatred, the true racial hatred that exists in this country. And one of the cases he mentioned, of course, was the case of the Australian who was gunned down in cold blood because the three savages, the three animals, were bored in Oklahoma. But here's the thing about that case, Keith, and this has come out, I think, since our interview with Colin last week. The prosecutor there, Mr. Hicks, his name is Jason Hicks. He is the district attorney. He's the prosecutor in the case. He can find no racial motive in that particular crime. And that's interesting because it took me about 30 seconds of searching on the internet to find some. And here's a sampling of the killer's recent tweets on Twitter. This is what the killer, he's a 15-year-old, he's a 15-year-old black male. I was going to say man. He's a black male by the name of James Edwards. But this is what he had to say. With my N-words, of course, he didn't call them N-words, and thank God he's not Paula Deen or else he would have gotten in trouble for this, but with my N-words, when it's time to start taking lives. This guy's name is James Edwards. 90% of white people are nasty. I hate them. Now, could you imagine if George Zimmerman had written something like that about black people? He'd be facing the electric chair today. He would have been found guilty for sure. But this guy, this is what he said. This is what James Edwards, the 15-year-old killer of the white Australian, had to say. And it goes on and on and on from there. Yet, District Attorney Jason Hicks can't seem to find a racial motive in the case, Keith. It was sure easy, of course, for people to find it in the Zimmerman-Martin incident, which was a clear case of self-defense, as I mentioned, but not so much here. You know, at the end of the day, this killer, we've got a picture of the 15-year-old black James Edwards in Oklahoma. There he is, Keith. I'll let you... This could be my, as Obama said, this could be my son. Now, this guy pulled the trigger. But, of course, with a sub-80 IQ and poor impulse control, that's all he can do. But I'll tell you, and Ramsey Paul said it himself, District Attorney Jason Hicks is the real person responsible here.
Yes, our elites once again sell us out hand over fist at every opportunity. Not only our elites do that, but our elite wannabes, the people that want to join the list of the elites, like this Mr. Hicks. Mr. Hicks is running for re-election. I hope the people in Duncan, Oklahoma, and the surrounding area remember just what a race traitor he is. If you read the hate crime legislation that was passed in Congress, you will find that it is in race-neutral language. There's no reason in the world why it should not apply to the black perpetrators. By the way, there were three. A white kid or some mixed-race kid drove the getaway car. The two guys that actually fired upon and killed this Australian baseball player in central Oklahoma, in the environs of Duncan, Oklahoma, they were blacks. Now, there's no question about it. Look at their photographs, and I defy you to tell me that there's something else, okay? These people were guilty of a hate crime. If you read the text of the federal hate crime law, they are guilty. But miraculously, stunningly, you know, jaw-droppingly, the district attorney in Duncan, Oklahoma, said he can find nothing here that would constitute a hate crime, despite the fact that James found it in 30 seconds looking through the internet and finding tweets that show a marked racist animus. See, this is another problem that we confront in today's America. Our elites, our white elites, and our Jewish elites who pass as white have thrown white people under the bus. Black leaders found all sorts of racial animus in the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case when none existed. Like James said, if Zimmerman had said anything even remotely like what this perp, ironically named James Edwards, had said, he'd be facing the electric chair. He would have been convicted, he would have been thrown under the bus, and he would be dead meat. On the other hand, this didn't exist, apparently, in the eyes of the elite. And if our national media says it doesn't exist, if our elites pretend it doesn't exist, the American populace, particularly the American white populace, imagines it doesn't exist, and they go back to watching reality TV and voting who is going to be the winner on Dancing with the Stars, and forgets all about their impending doom, which is being planned for them, is going to be carried out against them by people like this Mr. Hicks. They're going to be the ones that allow white people to be prosecuted on the flimsiest of evidence, like George Zimmerman was, and he's not even white, by the way, while a perpetrator like the ironically named James Edwards in this story, who has a record replete with racist comments against white people, he's not going to even face prosecution. You know, as Zakhar Smirnov said, America, what a country.
America proves how far it's fallen, Keith, more and more every day. Daniel Boone has been banned from the University of Denver in Colorado. You know, and sometimes, and as I wrote on the blog, I wonder if these people are even being serious or if all this is just one big joke they're playing on those of us who are sane. Is a cartoon-like mascot reminiscent of Daniel Boone, right down to the legendary coonskin cap, racist, sexist, or otherwise offensive? Officials at the University of Denver seem to think so. That's why they have banned their own mascot in the true spirit of Colonel Rebel there at your alma mater, Keith, Ole Miss. Daniel Boone was a polarizing figure that does not reflect the growing diversity of the University of Denver community. I want you to ponder that sentence, folks. When we come back, we're going to get into this story and how it ties into the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech. His dream is our nightmare, folks. We're going to talk about it when we come back here on the Political Cesspool. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments, over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. We got to tell you about Daniel Boone getting banned from the University of Denver, and then we're going to tie that into Martin Luther King's 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, or Michael King, I guess, if we're going to be correct. But first, Sam Bushman, of course, the owner of our network, and he syndicates this show, and he does some work at the studio, the network studio in Utah when we're on each week, some production work and some engineering work for the show while we're live. I don't think he was 100% for sure if I was being serious or not when I said that the name of the alleged murderer in the Christopher Lane shooting was James Edwards. So he looked into it, and the results of his search were pretty interesting, to say the least. Sam, we got to bring you in for this.
All right. Really quick, James, I just want to mention before we get to that, the reason I'm the owner of the network, but I produce your show for one reason and one reason only. I have people that work for me, and I could have somebody else produce your show. The thing is, I love your show, and I produce it intentionally. By the way,
you didn't always produce it. We used to have other employees that came in. Now we got the big man himself. The big man, as Colin Flaherty even called you.
That's because I dig the show. I like to listen to it. It's fun. It's educational. Keith's rants are incredibly rich with historical context, valuable as could be. Anyway, I love the show, so I produce it, but I digress. What happened was I believed he was serious because I asked him. Through the Talkback channel, and he said, yeah, you know, the guy's name is James Edwards. I said, I'm going to look this up. So I typed James Edwards into Google, and it comes back and it gives me four people. One guy was an actor in the early 1900s, and then another guy is a Baroque guitar player, like classical Baroque guitar music. And then there's two other people that showed up, an NBA player that used to play for L.A. back in 1977 and 78, and then James Edwards the racist, which means James Edwards of the political cesspool. So I thought, well, man, there's only one racist. That's amazing to me. So I typed in James Edwards racist into Google, and there's only two people that came up this time. Of course, the broke guitar player didn't come up, and the NBA player didn't come up, but the political cesspool man came up, and this murderer did indeed come up, sir. Just saying.
You told me that, folks, to full disclosure, he told me that during the commercial break, and I laughed just as genuinely as I did now. So apparently commentating and practicing your God-given freedom of speech puts you on equal par or equal standing as a murderer of a man just because of his race. And so here, the two James Edwards is me and this murderer. Or alleged murderer, I guess, until the court has its say. Here we are, Keith, standing toe-to-toe. This is what King had in mind, Keith. We are equals.
Sam, got one question for you. Are you still on the line?
I think he hung up.
Well, anyway, I think that Sam has hung up.
I'm not, but I can be.
Well, just tell me this. Who was the number one racist that came up on your James Edwards racist search? This guy that murdered somebody
because of
race,
James Edwards was the first racist
of the political cesspool who just speaks and is as meek as a lamb in personal life.
No, James Edwards, the political cesspool, is the primary racist. This other guy's secondary there too.
Well, I'm certainly glad to that, you know, the mainstream media hasn't let us down, and they've shown America and the world once again just how stupid they are, just how flawed their logic is, and how unreliable they are. A murder by a black racist doesn't hold a candle to hosting a radio show by a person that stands for white racial solidarity and paleoconservative values. That's the state of the world in a nutshell today. Thank you very much, Sam.
Sam, this is why we do this show live rather than taping it, because what you just added to the show, I believe, will be the highlight of tonight's broadcast. That's I can't wait to do the search myself. Anyway, I'm in good company, Keith. I'm with Daniel Boone, who, going back to the previous segment before we chased that rabbit. And that was Brer Rabbit right there. I mean, that was a rabbit worth chasing. We found our happy place, yes. Anyway, a college mascot reminiscent of Daniel Boone has been banned from the University of Denver because Daniel Boone was a polarizing figure that doesn't reflect the growing diversity of the University of Denver community, but rather was an image that many women, persons of color, international students, and faculty members found difficult to relate to. So said Chancellor Robert Coombe in a March letter to the school community. Daniel Boone, Keith, there will come a day, and it is soon coming, where no white man is not labeled a racist. Daniel Boone, I've never heard of Daniel Boone being called a racist. I mean, yes, you hear of the Confederates being mislabeled and misconstrued as racist. Now it's Daniel Boone. Soon it'll be the Founding Fathers, and then it will be all of us. Really, it already is. But this just provides further evidence that Daniel Boone, now too controversial, didn't he marry an Indian? I mean, I'm not sure about that. There's some rumors about that. But either way, Daniel Boone, what do you know about Daniel Boone, and does he strike you as a racist worthy of being banned from college?
You know, I'm dumbfounded once again. Basically, you're right. Any white person is a racist. Any white person that is held up for admiration or praised in a history book or in past history books is a racist. We're no longer large and in charge. This is a message that we continually have hammered home to us by the mainstream media, mainstream higher academia, mainstream news, mainstream entertainment, mainstream everything. They are in the process of displacing white people, and the way to displace them is to say they're racist. Of course, if you dig into the history of people, white people everywhere, from Bach to Beethoven to Tsar Peter the Great, any of those people fail to pass muster under today's standard of what makes you a nice person, because nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, thought like a modern liberal on issues of race. And until very, very recently, trying to, you know, if you measure Abraham Lincoln by the standards of today, he's a racist. If you measure Frederick Douglass by today's standards of political correctness on race, Frederick Douglass is a racist. You know, it's that absurd. But this is, you know, everybody is measured by modern standards, and it is a big mistake to measure anyone, any historical figure, to judge any historical figure by today's political standards, because nobody can measure up. Anyone that did measure up, you never heard of historically, because they were probably in an insane asylum, which is where the politically correct of today really ought to be, James.
Well, that's absolutely right, Keith. And by the way, you know, it was a kind of a tongue-in-cheek remark, Daniel Boone marrying an Indian. I have to admit, in front of my international audience tonight, that I'm not an expert on everything. That's a hard thing for some men to admit. I'm an expert on a lot of things. I'm not an expert on everything. I have never really studied the history of Daniel Boone. Some people had commented on the blog that he had married an Indian. I don't know if that's true or not. But if he did, I got an interesting story for you. Either way, he's still a racist because he was white. It doesn't matter. You don't absolve yourself. You can't absolve yourself from that. Daniel Boone was a great man, based upon what little I do know about him in terms of the pioneering spirit. I wish we had more people like that. But as far as Indians goes, this is an interesting, quick story. An isolated Indian tribe has reappeared in Peru for the second time. There are still, and this just goes to show how not so far removed we are from history. You thought stuff like this occurred hundreds of years ago and before, and it's all ancient history above and beyond that. But the Mashco Piro Indians have appeared in Peru for the second time. Members of an Indian tribe, the story reads, that have long lived in isolation in Peru's southeastern Amazon have made contact with outsiders for the second time since 2011, leading to a tense standoff at a river hamlet. Authorities are unsure what provoked the three-day encounter, but say the Masco Piro may be upset by illegal logging in their territory. So they may be savages, but by God, at least they're environmentalists. But here's the thing, and the story goes on, and we don't have time to read it all, but there were park rangers and other humanitarians who were trying to reach out to this isolated and lost Indian tribe. It just goes to show again, folks, this is an undeveloped region of South America where Indians still live as they did when our people came to this country and began to civilize it. But what happened? Keith, I'll let you guess. What happened to the humanitarians and the park rangers who attempted to provide these people with resources such as machetes and food and other help? Just guess. They were shot at. Absolutely right. They were shot at. One of them was killed. The park ranger sustained injuries. But this just goes to show, you know, the whole thing where our people came over here and just dominated the Indians. Well, they're acting now in what little pockets they remain the same way they did back then. They fought with each other. They fought with us. And civilization prevailed, thankfully. We got to take a break. I'll let you comment on that. The music's playing. We'll be right back, folks.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I'll tell you, the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther, excuse me, Michael King's speech, I Have a Dream, has taken place. You know, I guess I know what he had in mind. This Daniel Boone being boycotted or banned from college, me being the top racist over a guy who killed a person based on the color of his skin. And there was a story that I believe Sam Bushman turned me on to, a poll that's out there. Now, what was the whole civil rights movement all about? It was so blacks could eat at the same lunch counters as whites. That was the whole thing. That was their mission in life. And by the way, if private business owners can't refuse service to whomever they choose, aren't we all slaves? Nevertheless, there was a poll out that asked whether or not homosexual business owners should be forced to service members of the KKK. KKK, now, first of all, let's get past the joke. Well, of course they should be forced to service the members of the KKK, because why wouldn't you want to service an FBI agent? But that notwithstanding, and as everyone knows, we steer clear of the ne'er-do-wells here in the political cesspool. You can be white, and you can be overzealous, and you can have you can be stupid. That's right. You can sympathize with us and not be one of us. Like Barack Obama, he's white, right? Or at least half white. Well, he's black because he's good in their eyes. George Zimmerman's white. I don't know. Listen, maybe race is a social construct, because every time I hear the media define someone by race, it's I can't see it. But the results of the poll were overwhelming that homosexual business owners should not be forced to cater to members of the KKK. So it kind of lends credence to the thing we've been saying all along. It wasn't about equal rights. It was about switching places. Right, Keith? I want you to answer that. Whites were forced to service whomever by the civil rights agenda. Homosexual people, according to this popular poll, should not be held. And, of course, that would apply to blacks as well. I guess, you know, members of the KKK shouldn't be serviced. But answer that, and then we'll go to Scoop. And then we got a lot of stuff to get to in the second hour. I know it seems as though we're always running behind schedule here on the political cesspool.
Well, I read an article by the inimitable so-called conservative Kathleen Parker, who's about as conservative as Vladimir Lenin. And her article was that King's great dream has been betrayed by Obama, okay? And we've got to attack the source of things. Martin Luther King was not a good guy. You listen to Glenn Beck. You listen to Glenn Beck's surrogates, which I did the other day, some guy named Stephen Burnett. They all, you know, you listen to Bill O'Reilly. You listen to Rush Limbaugh. You listen to Sean Hannity. Everybody, all of those mainstream people want to give a pass to Martin Luther King. He was the best thing since floating soap. Martin Luther King, I hate to tell Kathleen Parker, did not have a great dream. He had a great speechwriter. And this speechwriter was plagiarized by Martin Luther King. The actual I Have a Dream speech was written and prepared by a fellow divinity student at Boston University School of Divinity, which Martin Luther King attended. Martin Luther King stole the speech, appropriated it without acknowledgement, and used it. And, of course, he did the very same thing with his doctoral thesis. He was a plagiarist. He was a communist operative. He's basically everything that the left tells us that they are opposed to. He was a serial adulterer. He was a physical and sexual abuser of women. He was a rotten character and a bad person, and he's been recreated as a plaster saint. He was no moral paragon. I tell people that moral paragons don't have to have their FBI files sealed for 50 years. That's what the Ronald Reagan administration had to do with Martin Luther King Jr.'s FBI file in order to ram through Congress a national holiday for Martin Luther King. He may have been the face of the civil rights movement, but appropriately, the face of the civil rights movement was a fraud, a phony, a philanderer, and a bad, thoroughly bad person, just like the civil rights movement was. You said that basically they just want to switch places. That's the insight attributed to French Marxist black activist named Frantz Fanon, who said years ago that the true goal of the slave is not to achieve his freedom, but rather that he and his slave master exchange places. That's precisely what the left has accomplished in the field of race relations since the advent of the civil rights movement. Now, white people are a legally disadvantaged class. Read Paul Craig Roberts' series of articles back around the year 2000 on the new feudalism. We are now at the low end of the totem pole. We are the people that can be legally disadvantaged. We don't have the rights that others do. We're the victims of affirmative action. We're the victim of hate crime laws. All of that has been accomplished under the flag of civil rights. So consequently, the civil rights movement, as far as I'm concerned, is a terrible, terrible engine of injustice. And until white people recognize that, white people will be hopelessly lost, and they're going to be led by Judas goats like Kathleen Parker and others to the slaughterhouse.
Well, Martin Luther King was a lot of things, and you mentioned him, Keith, but at least he wasn't a racist like me and the James Edwards who killed someone. But between the two racist James Edwardses, only one has talked to Martin Luther King's niece this year, and I guess that would be me. You never know who now, folks, that you will hear on the political cesspool. We've had a Victoria's Secret model. We had Cindy Leathers. We had Michael King's niece, earlier this year. Now, that was a weird interview. Probably only to be rivaled by the one we're about to have now with Peter Scoop Stanton, our weekly correspondent. Hey, Scoop, what did you think of Cindy Leathers last week?
That was one of the best interviews given by the host of the show.
Well, thank you for that, because I'm telling you, it was a mixed bag in terms of the feedback. So that's good. That's a good one.
Right. That was one of the best interviews that you ever given, and also that was one of the best analyses by Sam Bushman. Before Sam went on the air, I gave him a quick some information that he already knew, and he was talking to me like he was a host of the show, but he was just a normal conversation. That's how smart he is, and that's how I need to be on my game.
But, well, that's when we had Sam on last week. He added depth to that interview, and I appreciate you saying it was a good one, because I felt as though it was substandard, but it was interesting. It was still interesting, and as Sam said, Keith's commentary after all that was it was a good show last week. I'll tell you that. It was an interesting show. It was one worth listening to if anyone's tuned in tonight and missed it. But continue on, Scoop.
Okay, while the media was up in arms and having a frenzy over some talentless woman trying to make a name for herself on cable television, Delbert Shorty Belton served his country by fighting in Okinawa during World War II. But this month, Shorty was murdered by two Utes. Here's a quick look on what Shorty ended up fighting for when he was fighting the Japanese in World War II. He fought for a nation with a welfare system that is second to none, where people who do not work do better than most people who do work, and the working man has to pick up the tab. He fought for a nation that did end segregation, but now his children and grandchildren are treated like second-class citizens with affirmative action, which means less deserving people get scholarships, class placements, jobs, and job promotions because of skin color or gender.
Amen.
Shorty also fought for a nation that has no more manufacturing, a nation that vilifies his brother soldiers because they want the government to follow the Constitution that they swore an oath to defend. Meanwhile, the foreign invaders are treated better than our soldiers. Shorty also defended a nation with major cities that now look like war zones. These cities were not devastated by foreign armies, but by their residents themselves. Shorty defended a nation where now he had to press number one to speak to somebody in English. Shorty defended a nation where men can marry men and women can marry women with the blessing of the state. Shorty also defended a country with a media that is absolutely treasonous. He also defended a nation where people of one color is being slaughtered by people of another color. He also defended a nation that taxes productive citizens to death, yet the government is broke. Now, if you remember back in the in the day after Pearl Harbor, people lined up out the door of their local recruiting station to fight the Japanese and the Germans. If you told all those boys back in the 1941 what was going on, I'm sure the line would be much, much shorter. Back to you in the studio.
Scoop, I appreciate that commentary. You're referring, of course, to the murder in Spokane, Washington, of the 88-year-old World War II veteran Delbert Belton. And sure. That, too, was one of the black-on-white hate crimes mentioned by Colin Flaherty, one of our featured guests last night, along with the aforementioned Ms. Leathers. And you did an article about that for your own blog, am I right?
Correct. The name of the blog is American Scoop at blogspot.com.
Well, Scoop, I'm glad you were able to work that in tonight. I apologize that we're always running late here. It is live radio, and we didn't get to you in a timely fashion, but your contributions each week are immeasurable, and we thank you for calling in tonight. Are you on your way to work, or are you already at work?
I'm already at work. I'm about to punch in and go to work.
There he is, folks, and there he goes, going to work. Thank you, Scoop, for your contributions tonight. Keith Alexander and I will be back with the second hour tonight right after this, folks. Stay tuned.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can. But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.